Okay, let me ask you a few questions. Let's talk about restaurants. Would you be willing to wait for a really good restaurant a half hour, or would you just eat somewhere kind of crappy because you could get in right away?
What do you think? The look on people's faces when they wait in line is like, it's just, what are you going to eat or to stand quietly?
Have you ever uttered the phrase, get off my lawn?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I've said, but I didn't mean like old man, like, get off my lawn. I meant more like, this is my property, so get off my lawn.
I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. You have early onset grumpiness.
What?
Early onset grumpiness, EOG. You're going to begin to enjoy fewer and fewer things in your life. You'll be saying things like, who are these people?
Who are those people? It's a real question.
The only reason you leave the house is to see classic old movies, and even then you'll say, it had some good parts, but all in all, it was fairly uneven. You're very young to have EOG. Your life is going to change forever.
Is there anything I can do?
Normally we try meds, but you're too young for them. I'm sorry. I'll notify your family.
Don't notify my sister. She didn't even pick up the phone half the time. She gives people a hard time.
TBTL.
Hey, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Danny.
What's wrong with Mark?
He's cranky today.
All right. Let's toss the ball around.
How did these buff dudes escape my radar? I thought I knew about every single buff dude.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Shh. You gotta give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin.
Remember, boys, no points for second place.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of TBTL.
I can't believe you're still on the air.
The show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name's Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
I don't know who that is, and I don't care to find out.
Coming to you from the very foggy Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. I don't mean it's not foggy inside the house. That would be weird. That would be a problem. It's just foggy all around. I feel like I'm like in the Cloud City, about to be double-crossed by Lando Calrissian. Because it's like, I'm just looking out at what normally would be a view of Lake Whatcom and Squalicum Mountain, and all I see just right at the back fence of our yard is just a big cloud. We're up in the sky here on Alabama Hill, and very excited to bring you episode 3096 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
Interesting article in the New York Times that says, when we are talking to the people we are closest to in our lives, those are the people that we are most likely to tune out.
Huh?
Because of something known as closeness communication bias. So we'll get into that. Also, the trailer for the new Wes Anderson film called The French Dispatch is just been released.
So who needs a movie?
It looks like an algorithm made a Wes Anderson film, and I am extremely excited for it. Maybe Wes Anderson wrote an algorithm, and it's just making his movies the most Wes Anderson films can be. I don't care. I still like them. That's how twee I am, apparently. So we will talk about that new film. And also, the San Francisco Giants broadcast team for their baseball games are going to try something very novel this year, something that's never been done, something that is ripped directly from the pages of TBTL. That's right, folks. Baseball's back.
The crack of the bat, the roar of the crowd. That's right. Baseball's back.
So we'll get in. Oh, and also, Major League Baseball is considering changing their playoff structure so that more teams get into the playoffs. And live on national television, the teams that have better records get to pick who their opponents are going to be. Very Vince McMahon, XFL, do you smell what The Rock is cooking kind of stagecraft being proposed by Major League Baseball. So we will we'll probably talk about that too. We're putting that at the end of Top Stories, though, for those of you who get riled up when we talk about sports. Speaking of sports, you know what this guy can do? He can flat out co-host. He is Andrew Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. That thing that you just did, it rem-
it reminds me of something that I heard on another radio show or podcast. Mm-hmm. I can't place it. I was telling you yesterday on the show that I just listened to so
such a
many
wide range of programs.
Yeah, so many shows. I'm just kind of sucking them all in so I can kind of study mm-hmm. the field. And so I can't remember what is from what show, but that thing you just did, it reminded me of something and I loved it.
That was so unfair because you made a declaration yesterday that you were not going to bring up that particular radio show anymore. And then I just like I basically called in exactly what the pitch was going to be. There was like no need for you to Houston Astros me on that. I said, I'm throwing a meatball right down the middle. I'm throwing you some high cheese. Feel free to deposit it in the left field bleachers, and you didn't, and I'm proud of you.
I'm better than that. I have. Speaking of, actually, I do have a couple more declaration and promises up here at the top of the show, if you'll allow it. Mm-hmm. Number one, another promise to you and the listeners. Sincere promise. During the conversation about the study that says we tend to tune out people who we are closest with, I will not make the hacky joke of pretending like I've zoned out on you while you explain that story. I think it's an obvious thing. I think that you're probably waiting for me to do that. I'm telling you, I will not go down that road. Okay?
I appreciate that because that's what I was going to do to you.
What?
It was my point.
No, just kidding.
you son of a...
Secondly, I feel bad. Yesterday at the top of the show, I gave people the WNBA news that they were waiting to hear, which is that Swin Cash is going to be inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. I didn't mention Lauren Jackson. I didn't know that Lauren Jackson, her teammate during an era on the Seattle Storm, has also been invited to be an inductee into the Hall of Fame, and I totally left her out. I found out later in the day that she's going to be part of the same class. My apologies.
Here's the sad part. You said we used to have Swin Cash on the old radio show, and I don't specifically remember that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying it is just one of the many things that has been lost in my brain, which is bad.
I think we had her on one time to talk about basketball and then another time to talk about like whatever. I think kind of we ceded a lot of ground to her to talk about whatever kind of charity she was working with or foundation she was starting. I think that it just looms larger in my head because during the couple of years that I worked at Cairo, especially on that show, I remember the folks who run the Storm would kind of buddy up to us because they wanted coverage. Mm. And so I believe two years in a row, they gave us floor tickets, me and Genevieve floor tickets, which was just great. And the most amount of basketball I've ever watched in my life, actually. And so I sort of like, even though I don't know anything about basketball and really don't know anything about that league at all, I just have a tiny little window into the WNBA, very specifically the Seattle team, very specifically for the years probably 2011 and 2012. And so these names, when they happen to pop up, they catch my attention. But no, don't be fooled.
Sure.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
That must have been a heady time. I'm not being sarcastic because, you know, you're coming out of the world of public radio, which has its obviously own kind of cool vibe when it comes to if you want to talk to – I don't know.
Tall Gawande.
Poet Laureate Robert Pinsky.
That's better,
Or Medea Benjamin.
Right.
Or other people that might be featured on Bridges, a liberal conservative dialogue with Larry Josephson. Or Alternative Radio with David Barsamian. But like,
who is your linguist? How are you not dropping down your language?
I'm not dropping a Nunberg.
A Nunberg.
I'm not dropping a Nunberg reference at the Xerox Center for Language at Palo Alto. I am... I'm serious, though, like to go from like you're doing public radio and then it's like now we work together in commercial radio. And there's this kind of this buddying up that happens. That's a little different where the Storm are like, hey, we'd love to generate as much coverage as possible. And we're going to put you sideline seats. And you and Genevieve are just like on the court. Actually, one of those years, Dave Ross and I went to that game. Were you guys there for that one? I know I sat next to Dave courtside at one of these games. Were you and Genevieve there as well?
I don't think so. I think we went on separate occasions, but probably the same seats, those beautiful courtside seats.
And the game that Dave and I went to, and you may be surprised to hear this, Dave Ross, not a person with a huge experience around the game of basketball.
If he were to know about a sport, though, for some reason I feel like he would know about women's basketball.
I would feel like it would be baseball, because baseball, I think of as being a very cerebral sport. It's the, you know, I feel like baseball is the sport for people that only kind of half care about sports and would rather write about the intellectual side of a sport. And I don't mean that Dave Ross is overly intellectual. I just mean it draws that kind of cerebral person. But so we're watching the Seattle Storm game, and I'm like, Sue Bird literally hits like a three-quarter court shot to win the game at the buzzer.
Oh.
And I think in my life of being at professional basketball games, it's the only game like that I've ever been in person at or in person for. And it was electric. Dave and I were hugging each other and jumping up and down. 100% the most physical contact he and I ever had during a professional association. We were losing our minds because it was like – it was probably the most fun basketball game I've ever been to in my life. And I loved that Sue Bird hit the shot. It was just like so perfect.
And that was like a kind of – I don't remember what they did in that era as far as going to the playoffs. I'm sure they went to the playoffs.
I think they were really good.
Yeah, I think they might have even won a championship around that time. And that was – yeah, that was a really – that was a strong time for the Storm, I assume. Again, it was really the only time I paid attention to them. I went to a I went to a UW Huskies women's basketball game with Genevieve a couple of weeks ago. She got the tickets through work. And I was watching the game, and I realized – I shouldn't put it that way. I knew going into the game that I had sat next to one of these basketball players on an airplane just recently. I don't think I told you this story. Probably because it's not –
I think you told me off air.
Yes.
It was a tall person wearing
– Exactly.
Gear that made you think basketball.
It was just a tall person who just kind of had that athlete vibe to her. You know what I mean? I don't know what she was wearing. Probably some sort of –
And
like
she was dribbling
pants.
A basketball on the plane.
She was
which
spinning
is actually
it. And like
– FAA violation.
Yeah. There was some song being whistled behind her the whole time. Mm-hmm. No. And I could just sort of tell that she was probably an athlete. And so she set her water bottle down.
I'm just gonna keep whistling Sweet Georgia Brown under
you,
if you
though.
Don't mind.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to add some zhuzh to this, and I don't just mean Sean DeTour.
You mean Smudge? I think that's what his name is. Right?
Zhuzh.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Smudge. Anyway, she sets her water bottle down on the tray table, and I see her name, and I want to say it's Darby Reese, but now I think I'm confusing her with Reese Darby. But she's a woman who...
Or Darby Reed. Our former intern, former child
Darby
model,
Reed, right.
Darby Reed.
Why am I blanking her name? Anyway, she's I Googled her. I did that thing where you kind of, you're like sitting next to somebody. You're like, are you a Storm player? You're somebody. I know you're somebody. And then the world gives you an opportunity when you see her name on her water bottle. And so I'm doing that thing where I'm sitting next to her. And she's a very large, tall person. And I'm kind of angling myself so I can Google her without her knowing I'm Googling her. And then I see, oh, she's a sophomore that they recruited from Australia. All roads lead to and from Australia for us.
Power in. Hey,
yes.
I sometimes Google people on planes that do not appear to be professional athletes. Mm-hmm. Is that weird?
No, I mean, I've done it before, too. I've
just a random business dude, because I'm kind of like, what's this guy's story? Like, he's writing some reports about the, you know, the sort of projections for this, you know, fiscal year as it relates to this product. And I will just – but, you know, it'll be a thing where there's like some kind of business card taped to his computer. Or I will somehow figure out the person's name. And then I will actually Google them just because I want to know who people are in the world. Is that – and I don't do anything with the information. I'm not like trying to like hit the guy up for a job or anything like that. It's just – I'm just curious about people in their lives, but that does feel like maybe a creeper move.
It is probably a bit of a creeper move, but I think we all do it. I've done it before. I've done sketchy things. I've seen somebody working on a business. Why would I say this? I've seen somebody working on some sort of a weird business project in front of me, and I kind of took a screen cap, or I took a photo between the seats of their computer screen so I could zoom in and see what they were doing. No, it's wrong. It's not right. I didn't do anything with it, and I had no ill intentions. I just wanted to...
Just curious.
Just curious. What are you working on there, bud? And I want to do an enhance. By the way, her name is Darcy Reese. She's from Adelaide, South Australia. We're in Adelaide.
Yes, we were. And I'm also – I was going to try to make some comparison to the fact that my daughter is named Adelaide.
Yeah.
There's a person who's made 50% out of my DNA named Adelaide who walks among us in this world.
Are you saying she's 50% that Luke?
She just took a DNA test. Oh, my God. Please let her be 50% that Luke, or else somebody owes me a lot of money in child support. Yeah, I guess it comes down to what one does with the information, in my opinion, as to if it's a creeper move. By the way, I would be less likely to do it if it were a woman, because that would feel
yep.
creepy. Although I'm sure I have done that, and not with any intention of trying to hit them up. Just with, again, I'm just curious about what everyone in the world is doing, honestly. Like, I kind of am, and so I feel like I Google a lot of people in a given day, and then I have to remember if I meet those people to not let all of that information out. Right. Because some of it's like, well, why would you know that?
Right.
I was on your LinkedIn page because you're the person who took my call at the local garbage company, and mm-hmm. I didn't like your tone. Speaking of which, you'll enjoy this, Andrew. I pulled off – speaking of just physical athletic feats, which if the UW had a team for this, I don't know. I feel like I would be getting recruited. I pulled off the rare and very difficult double bin roll down our very long and very steep driveway this morning.
That sounds dangerous for a middle-aged man.
How about a middle-aged man who's half wearing running shoes?
Mm. Oh, your like, heels are outside of him?
Yeah,
your
it's like smashing them down so they're like flip-flops, basically. Because I had a lot of stuff going on last night. I'm at, you know, per sort of usual for me, I got a lot of balls in the air, as it were, and so I just completely spaced that this morning was a garbage day, and so I woke up this morning, was feeding the dog, and I looked out and I was like, those garbage cans, and they're you know, the big huge rolling bins, whatever the largest kind mm-hmm. you can get are. I was like, those seem out of place. It's Wednesday morning, and I hear in the distance, Andrew, the air brakes of, and I don't know if it's the truck that picks up the garbage or the truck that picks up the yard waste, you know, like leaves and stuff and branches. I've been kind of trying to get a little bit on top of some of the yard stuff around here at the old Springs because there's been windstorms, so tons of branches have blown into the yard. I won't mention which Rich and Linda's trees those are. Could it be any Rich and Linda's in my neighborhood? Mm-hmm. So without being specific, let's just say a lot of branches in the yard, picking those up. Also picking up leaves just from various places they're collecting, trying to keep things in shape here in order. So there's a ton of yard waste. And of course, last week when I called the garbage people in this town and said, and by that I mean the people that run the organization, not that they're garbage humans, but like, I was like, is this the week you pick up the yard waste? They're like, no, it's not this week. And I'm like, of course it's not this week. It's never when I've just done a bunch of yard work and would like to get this stuff off the books. So this morning I realized, oh my God, a truck is coming, and I don't know if it's the yard waste truck or if it's the garbage truck, but I've got to get both of these cans down to the front before that thing gets here. And so I jump into my running shoes partially. And again, these are both really substantial. What do you call it? What would you call it? It's not – the can is not the right – a bin, I guess, but they're on wheels. And just I'm rolling them down this steep hill, but they keep wanting to fishtail and go in different directions and then bang into each other. And I'm also have to kind of shuffle because my shoes aren't really on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down there right before the truck showed up, and it was the yard waste truck. So thank God, because that's only every 2 weeks. So had I missed that one, the garbage, it's like they come every week. We don't actually usually fill the can up completely. That wouldn't have been the end of the world. But missing the yard waste would have been a bad deal.
I got a whole yard waste thing. I got a lot of material on this. I honestly don't know if we feel like getting into it right now, though. Like, what does tomorrow's show sheet look like? Do you want to? Because it's kind of an involved story that's been brewing for a while that just kind of reared its head again this week. And I feel like I spent a lot of time talking about garbage.
You know what?
Let's do it tomorrow, maybe.
Let's do it tomorrow. I'll actually be at the offices of Walsh, Welsh, and Dormat for the show.
Oh, good. I can give
so
you
I don't
some
know if
visuals.
That adds anything.
Yeah, I can give you some visuals. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, good. No, I think that's a good plan. The good news is I got the stuff down there. They picked up the yard waste, and so you know, I'm for the record though, I think I'm going to cancel that yard waste thing and save, are ready for it, $10 per month not oh, doing that. Like, remember when we were talking about this the other day and I said I'm really considering just canceling the whole thing and just mm-hmm. like about every 2 weeks just taking a couple of those big Rubbermaid garbage cans to the dump, because I honestly think that would be easier, because half the time we don't generate really enough trash for that big, huge bin. I guess we could get a smaller one too, but it's like half the time it's not full And then other times it's overly full. It's just like, and it feels like a bad system. And then particularly in the wintertime, they're so intermittent with the pickups. It's just, eh. But anyway, I don't know if I'm ready to fully pull the trigger on the garbage side of it. But the yard waste thing is like, come on. Like, it's just, it's every 2 weeks. It's like, I don't know. It just didn't seem worth it to me. I'd rather just, when I'm done with doing a big project around the yard, throw everything in a couple of, you know, those big Rubbermaid things and throw them in the car and take them up to the, dump them out in the green, you know, green yard waste part of the dump. I actually enjoy that part of the ritual, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like, I can believe it.
There is almost not, and there's the yard side of it, and then there's just like the general, like if you ever do a big old something or other around your house where you clean out a garage or you, I don't know, you're doing a project and you finally get it handled and then you just end up with all of the like the waste, I guess, the garbage, the whatever, and you take that to the dump. It's so fun. I love throwing things out of the back of a truck into that big cavernous hole. It's just, it is... I understand why people go to those rooms where you can smash TVs with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah.
There's something so fun about the just like, guess what I'm doing with these Venetian blinds? I'm throwing them over my head backwards and I don't care what happens to them. Oh, did they just land on a scooter with one wheel that someone else threw in there? Yeah, they did. And that's fine. Like, there's just something weirdly satisfying about throwing stuff away with absolutely no discretion for what happens to it after that, or no care for what happens. By the way, I'm also describing a huge part of why this planet is going to be dead in 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm literally describing my joy of filling landfills with crap that I probably didn't need to accumulate in the first place, but in the interest of honesty, that's where I'm at.
Well, this wouldn't be good for the environment either, but ever since I was a little kid, and more so when I was a little kid, but still a little bit now, I've had a fantasy of being able to go into a fully stocked store with a baseball bat and just going ham, as you might say, just destroying a fully stocked, like totally in good shape store. Not, you know, not one where people are currently
that's
shopping
been set up for you,
but
to destroy?
One that has been like, listen, we're going to tear this place down. And I say, yeah, but what about all the pickles? Shouldn't we give those to people who need something to eat? And somebody says, don't worry about it. All the produce has gone bad. All the canned goods aren't good anymore. Just here's a baseball bat, young man. You're 43. We consider you young. I'm talking to like a 72-year-old here for some reason. Go to your destiny. Start smashing.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's a little dark.
Really? There's not part of you that would love to. You would love to go to a smash room where people set stuff up for you.
Yeah,
but
because
you
I think some part of my brain knows that that's what it's set up for.
Yeah,
I don't mean dark. Maybe dark's a little a wrong way to describe it. Like the fact that for you it's important that it's pristine and a functioning store. I mean, I get why. It just I feel like that makes me feel like you've got like I repress nothing. I should repress more stuff, and you maybe were repressing too much stuff.
Maybe. I don't think I kind of disagree with your assessment that it's any different. That it's just like it's a better version of the smash rooms that people go to. I think that's what people are trying to get.
Because it's not a smash room. It's just someone's business.
Yeah, well, but maybe I'm not making myself clear. I don't really want to destroy somebody's business. I want a smash room that is set up perfectly. I mean, you know, I don't want to run somebody out of business. I'm talking about a building that has no more function anymore, but to the bare eye, it would still appear to be a fine, everything in fine condition store. Get a smash in. I mean, that's what people are trying to do with those smash rooms, only, you know, you can only make it so real. It's like, put on goggles. We're going to set a single telephone on the stump for you, and we're going to smash it. I assume. I mean, I've seen photos. And again, that still sounds appealing to me, but it also sounds like, you know, part of the fun would be just the chaos of going into a pristine store where everything is still set up like it's a store, like you're in a zombie movie or something, sans zombies.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I understand what you're saying because, yeah, those rooms where you destroy stuff are already pretty destroyed because that's what their function is. And so it's not maybe scratching the same itch. Wait, did I do that right? I often mess that up. I say scratch when I mean itch and itch when I mean scratch.
Nope, you said it right.
Okay.
Now say
Volkswagen. No, I hear what you're saying. Like you'd be like you're fine with it being
sorry, that was me.
You're fine with it being a smash room, but you just want it to be a smash room that is set up so it's an entire store and it's actually nice and it feels like it's not just like has a bunch of graffiti in it and it's just like you're in some like gutter punk garage where now you're going to whack a TV that's obviously way already dead.
Yeah. Like, that's a good point, too. If the things were too old, I'd probably fall in love with them. Like, oh, my God, look at this TV
I can fix
from
this.
The 90s.
You know what? Honestly, is this tube still good?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think that, you know, probably, you know.
I used
probably
to have this Coleco.
Wait, this is my house. What have I done?
Oh, my God. This done? Just took, what an M. Night Shyamalan-esque twist. All right, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, speaking of movies, I want to talk a little bit about the trailer for The French Dispatch, and then all the other top stories we have in store for you today, and plus some emails and V-mails. That's all coming up on TBTL. Stay with us.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense.
I mean, honestly, for all of the crap that we give Smash Mouth and playing California Got Sunshine and all that kind of stuff, I think this song is legitimately catchy, and I am not mad when it's on.
Yeah, I think I go a little bit.
You're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid.
I can't argue with the chorus at all. That's for sure. Hearing it from the very beginning, it triggers a little, like, kind of, you know, I don't like the song, the band Cake very much. That kind of, like, uh-huh. that just on the edge of, we're all just joking around here. I'm not huge on that style of music. But, I mean, honestly, once you get into this song, and if you're not paying that much attention to it, it's really hard not to like it.
It is catchy AF.
Yeah.
These guys are in a big beef. We're going to talk about baseball later. I believe these guys were in a beef with the Mariners for a while, if I remember right. There was something having to do with the Mariners' social media and the Oakland A's social media scrapping. And then some. I feel like I remember Smash Mouth, their Oakland A's stands. I remember them getting involved, which was I don't know if it was this dude. I don't even know this guy's name. Look at this dude with his sort of particular style of facial hair. That's interesting that we don't know this guy's name. Because Mark McGrath is a lead singer of Sugar Ray. He's fairly famous. I think of Sugar Ray and Smash Mouth as being pretty similar,
mm-hmm, sure,
kind of in their appeal. But I don't. I bet you that there are members of Smash Mouth that can't name the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Steve Harwell is his name.
You could have, honestly, if you offered me $10,000 to guess what his name was, I would not come up with Steve Harwell.
Really? It's the only celebrity name I know off the top of my head. That's really weird. No,
Steve Kidman. That sounds, by the way, like I'm trying to shade this guy. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, he just
a human being living his life. It's interesting to me that he's in a band that's arguably as popular, if not more, than Sugar Ray in terms of their cultural impact. The fact that they did show up prominently in the Shrek films. Like, they are not an unsuccessful band at all. But I couldn't ever have told you the guy's name.
And looking up the Sugar Ray singer, Mark McGrath, I couldn't think of it off the top of my head, although I think you just mentioned it a moment ago. I would not know that were it not for you. But this is an interesting game. Well, maybe it's not. But I looked it
Let's
up.
Find
and,
out.
And you know how.
Happy Miles Garrett Day.
Happy Miles Garrett Day.
And a blessed Miles Garrett Day to you as well.
As I said to you on the text chain, just rip off a friend's hat in celebration today. So when you Google a person, Google will then say people also searched for, and they have a list
yes.
of names. Now, I don't think there's any world in which you get any of these. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in front of me. I only recognize two of the names.
Okay. So if you search for the lead singer of Smash Mouth, mm-hmm. Steve Harwell.
No, I'm sorry. Sugar Ray. I typed in Sugar Ray singer.
If you
I got Mark
search
McGrath.
For, if you search for Mark McGrath from mm-hmm. Sugar Ray, mm-hmm. it then says these are other people you're looking for.
Yes.
Or you may also be interested in these other people. Okay. I think I got this.
I don't think you do. I don't think I don't think God has this. I don't think God could make a Google burrito that he would understand.
It's so complicated that he could guess. Is Mario Lopez on the list?
Mario Lopez is not on the list, but I like the way you think. That you know, I'm because, expanding this. I'm going to expand to all 15, not just the six. That gives you a better.
The reason I thought Mario Lopez might be a sweet pull because Mark McGrath hosted one of those like Access Hollywood shows for a hot minute.
Okay.
So I thought there might be some overlap from his TV career. And then I think of Mario Lopez as being in that verse. So that's why I thought that might work. That didn't work. Let me try another one. I'm going to go music. I'm going to go Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
Fred Durst on the list. I got to scroll from side to side. Is he on the list? I'm really hoping here. I am not seeing him. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm giving you bells.
This is going to be tough. Funnily enough, by the way, I was when I was in L.A. doing that TV interview this weekend, the studio that we worked in, I told you yesterday on the show, it had once hosted Liberace. Liberace used to record all of his stuff there. And I noticed in the corner there's this like elaborate candelabra. And I said to the guy who owns the studio, who's actually not a particularly old guy, he's probably mid-30s, I said, hey, is that – that's got to be from when Liberace recorded here. He goes, oh, no, that was from a Fred Durst video. And I was
– right.
And I was like, you know, just because I'm basically a – angry, hurt person. You know, you bring Fred Durst up. I think about Limp Bizkit. I think about doing it all for the nookie, so you can take that cookie. And I just like want to say something dismissive. Mm-hmm. And I almost did, but then I didn't for whatever reason. And then this guy goes, yeah, we actually produced his like latest album in here. He's a super sweet guy. Mm-hmm. Like goes on this whole thing about how he's not how everybody thinks. And I was just like, oh, God. Thank God I just hit pause for 1 second on my snarkiness.
Right.
Because it just would have made it so weird because I was just going to take a big dump on Fred Durst. And then this guy who likes him and works with him and thinks of him as a friend and ally would have had to then figure out how to like tell me in a nice way that he's – I mean one of two things would happen. Either would have just told me, oh, he's actually a nice guy, or he would have just like – killed by Mike for the rest of the interview.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, although, also, like, you know that there's some sort of working relationship there anyway if they rented the place out. You know what I mean? If they shot it there.
And
so,
that's maybe where maybe that's where my brain just way in the back sort of, like, lizard part of it realized, oh, don't say what you're about to say about Fred Durst because if he worked here, there must be some association.
Right. I'm going to give you some of these people on this list. I don't think you're going to guess.
Give me their name, and then I'll see if I know who they are. How about that?
The first one you will not. But the first one is his spouse, Karen Kingsland. So that's the first person to pop up.
That's a
That's good. Let me just read all of these. We have nowhere to be because a lot of them I don't know who they are, but it'll be interesting to see if you do. Rodney Shepherd. Do you know who that is?
No.
Nor do I. He's a musician. He's holding a guitar.
Okay.
Sugar Ray. He is the guitarist.
He's in Sugar Ray.
He's the guitarist.
That would make sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Dave Navarro.
Well,
that makes a lot of sense. Right? Yep. Stan Frazier. Not exactly sure who that is.
I'm going to go bass player from Sugar Ray.
He co-founded Sugar Ray in 1986, so there you go. These are making more sense now. Murphy Carges. No idea. Let's assume Sugar Ray.
I used to run with that guy. He ran a poker room in Chicago in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I used to dip in there on the occasion.
DJ Homicide. I believe the inventor of the Homicide hot wing that I like to eat at my local pub. That's my
I actually watched that show on A&E, DJ Homicide. It's where they have DJ Khaled try to solve a crime. But he just keeps saying to the corpse, you're worth it. And it's like, this is not helping.
You alive inside.
but not outside because you dead.
Pauly Shore, Shania Twain. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
Billy Morrison.
Whose bed have your boots been under? Who?
Billy Currington. Billy Morrison.
Oh, Billy Currington, singer.
Okay. Don't know him.
Yeah, Billy Currington, country singer. I know him.
Do you say the Stone Temple Pilots guy's last name? Is it
Scott Weiland?
Weiland. Scott Weiland is on there. Brett Michaels is on here.
Okay, sure. The pride of Western PA, I believe.
Fast forward here a little bit. Uncle Cracker. What do we know about Uncle Cracker?
Oh, we know a lot about Uncle Cracker. Uncle Cracker was Kid Rock's DJ for a while and then spun out on his own career. And he did a number of hit songs. Oh. One of them was Follow Me, Everything Is All Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be the one to tuck you in at night.
Sure, yeah.
And then he also did a version, I believe he did a song with, he did a Dobie Gray cover, I think it was like Picture with Sheryl Crow. I think Uncle Cracker did that. Mm. Uncle Cracker had a surprising career beyond being Uncle Cracker, the DJ guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, one quick sharpshoot on that. You said that he was Kid Rock's DJ. He was, according to Wikipedia, a turntablist for Kid Rock. So, okay, not, you know, I just like I just think that language is important.
When, can I get half a point for that?
When I did, oh, shoot. Am I supposed to be keeping points? Donovan Leitch is on the list, but not my Donovan. Mm-hmm. Donovan's son, Donovan Leitch. Not the original flavor. Meatloaf is on the list. And the very last one on the list, for reasons I will never understand, Anne Murray. I'm not joking. Anne Murray, the Canadian musician.
Wow. What was Anne Murray's big hit? You Light Up My Life?
Maybe. Let me look it up, because my dad was an Anne Murray man.
Did I ever tell you, I know I've told this story on the show before. It's very weird, and it's not one of the top stories, but when I was a kid, like a little kid, we had just moved to Seattle, and I had this buddy around the corner. His name was Aaron. His mom was, I thought, the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life. She worked at a beauty salon at Northgate Mall. She had dyed blonde hair, and she seemed, I believe her name was Monique, she seemed impossibly glamorous to me. She smoked cigarettes. What I realized now was she was a single mom barely keeping it together.
Mm-hmm.
But to my fresh off the commune, like 7-year-old eyes, this was glamour. Monique smoking Virginia Slims and being beautiful. So anyway, I would kick it with Aaron sometimes, and I don't know why this happened. It must have been my birthday or something. One day I came home and he had dropped off a present for me, and it was a music box that was shaped. Remember these music boxes in the 80s that were like sort of soldered together copper, and they would be like an old-timey car or an airplane or do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. What you're describing reminds me of a piggy bank that I had, but not a music box. I don't think I know what you're talking
about. I bet you they made a lot of things like this.
Okay.
Where it was a big style for it. It'd be like a biplane. Imagine a biplane, but it's made out of very thin sheets of copper that are then all soldered together. And the soldering is almost sort of intentionally rough. Anyway, I got this. I remember it being like a biplane. But it was a music box. And you wind it up and it would play You Light Up My Life. This is from my... But it's a weird gift. Probably Monique bought it. Maybe Aaron bought it. I don't know. I remember playing this music box and getting choked up as a kid over the song You Light Up My Life. The weird, you know, the music box version, which is basically little metal strips bonging, bang, 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 bang.
Keep going. Bang, 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 I'm not quite getting it. Like keep going. Could you keep going? I'm almost there. By the way, that song that you were talking about, You Light Up My Life, that's a Debbie Boone song. Or at
Debbie
least
Boone, not Anne Murray.
Anne Murray we're listening to now.
What was her big song?
Held my hand. This is You Needed Me, and according to Spotify, this is her biggest hit.
Imagine Bob Walsh just grooving out to this on the hi-fi.
Yeah. He's got his radar detector on the dashboard. Oh, it is like 1979
driving.
Toyota something.
I had a friend whose dad had a record player in his... I forget. I think it was some kind of Trans Am or something. There was a record player in the center console, a tiny. You could play 45s.
Was he like a Shocks and Strut salesman, and he was just trying to prove a point?
It was the worst idea of all time. I remember looking at it and thinking, that makes no sense. Like, we're definitely going to – that's going to be skipping. I don't even remember it actually being used. I don't remember him spinning a record while we were driving around, but I just remember seeing it and being like, that's really, really putting a lot of faith in the – in the suspension system of this Trans Am.
Yeah.
That's going to work out.
How much buffer did that record player have? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
People used to brag about their buffers. Do you remember that? Like when you get a new CD player? You remember buffering?
Oh, yeah.
For a new CD,
sure.
Like this Walkman. Oh, this won't skip at all, man. It's got like 8 times buffer. I don't know what that means.
And there was always, I think each brand had their own kind of like sort of trademarked name for like Super Shock Pro or whatever. You know what I mean? It'd have something on the outside of the CD player that would just like mega shock proof, and you would just be like, yes, this is finally the one. This is the one that is not going to skip when I'm trying to play UB40 Labor of Love 2. Yeah. Oh, man. Don't get me talking about Discman. I'm liable to talk your ear off because, yeah, because it's the saddest thing. I mean, probably within the last year I told this story, but I really wanted to get a Sony Discman, but I didn't have enough money for it. I had saved up a certain amount of money, and my dad and I went to second time around, which was like a used electronics and record shop in the U District. And the CD, the Discman that I ended up buying was as big as a just conventional CD player that you would take around. Right. It was so not even what I wanted. Like, there was the sleeker version that people had that had mega shock proof, and it was probably bright yellow and, you know, all of that stuff. And this was an early indication of kind of how my brain works, though, because I went in there, I wanted to emerge with something like that, like a Sony cool thing. I didn't have the money for it. So instead of just saying, why don't I go home and save up more money and then get the thing I want? I was like, I'm leaving this place with a CD player come hell or high water. And so it was just it took so many batteries. It took four D batteries or something.
You need a dolly. Like, do you like, you like my new Discman? It's so portable.
It's like got a car battery. It's a dolly, and there's a platform that the CD player's on. Then it's hooked directly up to a car battery. And I wheeled that thing into the next day, though. You know, I got all these batteries, whatever, had my one CD that I owned at that time. Although, actually, I think it really, the CD I played was like Half Harvest by Michael Penn, that I had borrowed from Peter Williams' older sister, Dahlia. I remember strolling into lunch at Jesus Creek with my disc man and putting it down on the lunch table and being ready to just groove out. And then anytime anybody even walked past the table, it skipped. Because it was one of those Formica tables that folds in the middle. You know those lunchroom tables that you and they're on wheels? Uh-huh. It was like the most... It was just the most precarious thing, and I'm sitting there just trying to like have this experience with my Discman that I was so obsessed with. And instead of just like the shitty, probably the batteries died before the CD was over. It was a completely unsatisfying experience.
Would you say there is a 100% chance? Would you say I'd be correct in saying there's a 100% chance that you had a crush on Peter Williams' sister Dahlia?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, older sister of my friend, 100%, right, my friend. Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, actually, the first time I met her, I was very scared of her because she was a goth.
Oh.
And she had her hair all like combed over to one side, and then the side of her head was shaved.
Yes.
And I remember, this could be wrong, but I remember her having some kind of pattern shaved into like a checkerboard. She was very, I mean, this is like, we're talking 1985. It's very The Cure, very whatever that. And so I was... upon first meeting, I was like, oh, this is a scary person. But then, you know, I sort of lived with this family more or less because I was there every day for years of my life. And so eventually that fear wore off. And then I'm sure at some point I had a mega crush on her.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. And then next thing you know, you're listening to Michael Penn records while you're just bouncing into school with your portable CD player.
Portable in quotes.
Yeah.
I can already tell that this is one of those days where we're not going to really get to most of the top stories. So I am going to list them again, and you tell me which ones sparked joy for you, and then we'll just talk about that one. So option number one, this new Wes Anderson trailer. Option number two, the study about how we don't listen to the people we're closest with. Option number three, truck driver busted in Kennewick, Washington for speeding and also recording a music album while driving. He had a mobile studio in his cab of his semi-truck. Also, he was apparently smoking some amount of crack. Or San Francisco Giants broadcast team going to a very unique model of how they're going to try to call the games. Those are your four options.
Well, I'm leaning towards B and D, I think. I like the truck driver story, and I like the I'm interested in knowing what's in the Zone Out story. You know, we've invested a lot of time into the Zone Out story already. Let's do that.
Let's
and then
that
if we have time, let's maybe hear about this truck driver, because that sounds like something that doesn't have a lot more to it than what you've told us.
Exactly. It doesn't. It's just weird.
Yeah.
But you know, on the other hand, I could see myself doing it. Not the crack part.
Not the
crack. Maybe less the crack part, but the definitely the, like, well, I'm driving. I'm in this pretty decently soundproof thing. And I mean, it's funny because the photo, if we talk about it, I'll get into more. This the headline from this New York Times piece, "You're Not Listening, Here's Why," written by a woman named Kate Murphy, citing something called the closeness communication bias. "The closer we feel towards someone, the less likely we are to listen carefully to them. Once you know people well enough to feel close, there's an unconscious tendency to tune them out because you think you already know what they are going to say."
Mm-hmm.
"It's kind of like you've traveled a certain route several times and no longer notice signposts and scenery." I think anybody who's been in a relationship can sort of relate to this. They did an interesting study, though. They basically paired subjects first with friends or spouses and then with strangers. In each scenario, the research subjects tried to interpret what their partners were saying. While the subjects predicted they would more accurately understand or be understood by those with whom they had close relationships, they often understood them no better than strangers and often worse. So when they put people in a situation where they're talking to, like, let's say their husband or wife, and then a complete stranger, they did worse or the same with the person that they feel like they know better than the back of their hand. Is that surprising to you at all?
No, not at all. Like you said, anybody in a relationship can see this happen. Sometimes I think about it and it almost makes you, you know, like, familiarity can breed a certain amount of, boredom is the wrong word. That's way too strong
extreme.
Of a word. Yeah, too extreme. But, you know, it can breed just a sort of an environment where you take each other for granted to a certain extent. And, like, I like growing old with Genevieve, and frankly that's what we're doing, right? We got together in our early 20s and now here we are in our early 40s, and that's a lot of water under the bridge. And there's something I've always, like, thought about, like, it'd be nice if I'm with somebody to be with them for a long time, and I am, and that's really nice and I cherish that, and I think there's a lot of good things that come with that. But then sometimes you do think, like, if we were on a first date right now, I'd be really hanging on every word. Meanwhile, I'm sort of half listening while I'm closing the bathroom door on you mid-sentence, you know?
Well,
like, and I think it's something that we need to remember in relationships every now and then, be like, hey, pretend like this is somebody that you still need to impress, bozo.
That's, you know, I'm trying to use bozo more, by the way. that's interesting that you would mention that, Andrew, because one of the things they say is that too often, spouses and also parents with their children reduce conversations to logistics, such as what do we have for dinner, whose turn is it to do the laundry, et cetera, et cetera. And what they're saying is, I mean, this is kind of like relationship 101, but it's just maybe a useful reminder, is that, like, the big key is to actually ask the person, and this, I guess I'm framing this in romantic terms, but it could just be with your children or friends or just people that are in your life that you're pretty close to ask them how they are doing and to actually listen to their response.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing that we sort of stop doing pretty quickly. Well, I don't know if it's pretty quickly, but that's the thing that we stop doing over time. And pretty soon it just becomes the easiest thing to talk about with someone that you've been with for a long time is just the logistics of your life. Where are we going to go do this? Or did you get a chance to do that, et cetera, et cetera? And particularly, I would imagine, if you have kids together. I mean, that becomes a whole just – and that's also kind of part of why they say that people can wake up, you know, if they have kids, they raise the kids, and then they wake up one day when the kids are gone and they realize they kind of have nothing in common, because you've for years and years just been talking about the logistics of the family.
Mm. Yeah, you know, Vives and I slipped into something this weekend that – I think we do from time to time, and I don't know if it's embarrassing or not. I'm being serious here. I sort of think maybe it is. I'll just tell you the story. So we were out to dinner on Saturday. We just went to a sushi place kind of in our neighborhood. Nice little walk, nice little sushi place, good vibe. We're actually sitting up at the sushi bar because it's not super important, but just so you can kind of picture the scene. There are people around. You know, when you're sitting in a scene like that, people can overhear your conversation a little bit more easily than if you're at a table by yourself. But Veeves and I, you know, we sometimes have a lot of stuff to talk about, but also we are around each other a lot. And sometimes when you're sitting at dinner, there's not tons to talk about. You're already up. You've spent the day together, so there's no how was your day, what have you. And somehow I told Genevieve, I brought up the topic of that sleep game that she taught me. When I'm having trouble sleeping, one thing that Genevieve does, and now I do too, is come up with some sort of game where you try to list movies starting with every letter of the alphabet in some sort of category, like comedies. I'm going to start with comedies. Okay, A, Airplane. B, I'm out. No. But, you know, like Bad Boys for Life. I don't know if that's a comedy. Anyway, you know, that's something that I'll do, and I'll do that on my anxious nights, and you kind of go through it, and making your brain work in that way, you fall asleep. I think we've talked about that on the show before. So I mentioned to Genevieve that I had been doing that lately, and I said, yeah, what I was doing was just like comedies. And she said, yeah, I like my mind to be a little bit more tougher than that. I like something more specific, like, you know, and I'm like, oh, like comedies that are just one word names. And she's like, yeah, like Airplane. And then I can't remember what our B was. And then the next thing you know, we're in it. Like, that's our conversation all dinner is just like L. I think we got stuck on L, by the way. And like the whole time,
comedies, one word comedies that start with L.
Yes. I almost texted you when we got to
Leonard.
K.
A one-word.
One-word.
I was going to go Leonard Part 6 starring Bill Cosby, but that's...
And I think we were avoiding stand-up because we did not do Delirious for D. We did come to Kingpin for K. That one. I thought
that's
K
great.
Was going to kill us. We were... dinner's over. We're walking down the street, walking home, and we're just like... Now we're just talking like crazy people. Literally, we're just making K sounds. We're like, cuck. Krabby's. Is there a movie called Krabby's? No, that's not right. Like, we're just like doing that. I'm just like, this is what conversation looks like 20 years in, I guess.
There's nothing sad about that or embarrassing. That's great. I want to be in on that conversation. Can I join?
Yeah, absolutely. I almost
can I join this? Could we
during the case,
can I join this marriage?
Dude, I'm not joking. You had just texted me a photo of you and Wynn and John hanging out in Los Angeles together. And I'd gotten that maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes earlier. And then I'm stuck on the K's as we're walking home. I almost texted you and said, can you ask the guys if they can think of any one word comedies that begin with the letter K? But then I got to Kingpin. I still can't think of L, though. So if anybody, without Googling it, be intellectually honest for once in your damn lives. Without Googling it, let me know if you can think of a good L.
You guys got all the way to L, though.
We did get to L, but I'm still stuck on L, and it's been – that was Saturday night. It's now
let's just hold
Wednesday.
On. Let's just try this for a second. This is going to be –
I mean, this is going to be terrible.
I mean, you've
radio.
Tried everything.
I mean, I think so, but
it
I thought
it has to be a comedy.
It has to be a comedy. So, I wish I could think of some of the other examples, but I mean, I guess you get the game. But I've already forgotten like what B was. C could have been Caddyshack, by the way. I don't think Caddyshack was our C, but that's like a good example of one.
Man, this is a great game. I love this game. Mm-hmm. Okay, I won't torture the listeners by trying to think of it, but I think that this should just be a running thing. When we run out of topics on the show,
try to come up with the L.
We just dip into this and dip into this particular game. That though, I think that's lovely. I honestly think what else is being in a relationship other than just, you know, being in time and space with someone else and talking about whatever you're talking about, and like certainly that's much better than like whatever is happening in Marriage Story.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which is like two people just a knife fight in a phone booth, two people just slowly killing each other. Like, listing comedies, one-word comedies over sushi is, I'd give that a big win. I also think that there is, now this is going to sound like I'm slightly dragging your relationship. I do think there's a point in the relationship where, and there's nothing wrong with this, but where when the option is sit at the sushi bar, you start to take it just because it's one other thing that's happening.
Oh, well, we would have preferred a table, I think. I love sitting up at bars, but for sushi or
Me
something
too.
Like that, I would usually – I think we would – I pictured us getting a table there. They were just all filled up. Ended up talking to the folks next to us a little bit, which was kind of nice. Only talked to them because the waitress charged my card for their meal and – their card for my meal, so had to figure that out.
Let me guess. Was there all kinds of japery about who had gotten a better deal in that one?
It ended up like we're going to have her rerun the cards, but then it was a $10 difference, and she was a good-hearted woman who was working really hard but making a lot of mistakes. And so by the end, I just gave the couple a $10 bill and said,
"No way,
yes." I said, "Let's just
That's interesting.
But, oh, you know, one thing that I think I wanted to add to this, though. So while Veeves and I are kind of sitting, we're like kind of at – this is a bar that is like in the center of a restaurant. So it's kind of a four-sided bar, I assume, or maybe three-sided, but it's like in the center of the restaurant. And Veeves and I are sitting at kind of one corner of it. And the couple that's kind of catty corner to us, that's kind of nearby and also kind of in my line of sight because of the way the bar is set up, is they seem like a couple that is on – maybe a first date or an early date, and the woman is getting a little bit tight on sake. You can sort of tell, and ooh, they're just
like the good use of tight.
Yeah, this is the.
Really, I would say loose on sake, but I like tight.
I read a lot of Hemingway, and that's the only thing I took away from it. Anyway, so I think that while Veeves and I are kind of like, does the delirious count? No, keep work harder, Bozo. I'm going to say Bozo more. Meanwhile, I can just sort of get a little bit of a very nice, somewhat like kind of flirtatious. Maybe a little flirtatious, but also just like kind of cozy early date vibe from this other couple that isn't, you know, that they're a little bit younger than us, but kind of in our age range, I would say. And so maybe that made me self-conscious too. Like, these people are still exploring their personalities together and who they are and getting to know each other. And we're just trying to play this game that we usually play by ourselves to try.
You're
to
trying
fall
to
asleep.
Run out the clock on this life.
Yeah, right. And I had a lovely time. I'm just saying that I don't know if it's related to the story. It was just on my mind.
Well, I was I guess my thought was like, I just know that there's that, like, you know, how do I put this in a way that doesn't sound sort of jaded or whatever? I feel like there's the phase of most relationships where it's like you want to just be sitting at a table because you want to just like experience everything there is to know about this person across from you. And then there's the phase where it's kind of like, hey, who else is coming out tonight? Mm-hmm. Like, you love the person. You want to know all about them. But you also wouldn't mind a little bit more diversity in terms of the hang or like table or the bar. And you're like, the bar, it's in one of those restaurants where it's like an open kitchen. And you're kind of like, yeah, you know, it wouldn't be terrible to also have the cooking to look at and talk about while we're up here talking about whatever else we're talking about. Maybe it's just me. The other thing about this study that they found was we tune out the people we're closest to, and that in a weird way also makes us more likely to share information with people we don't know as well.
Oh,
in other words,
no.
We tune out people that we're close to, and then we also keep secrets from them sometimes. Mm. And for some reason, and they did another study, which I won't bore you with the details of, but what they basically found were that people were more inclined to share more personal information with people that were further outside of their close friend or relationship group.
Like that guy who emailed me and said that he has money. He just needs some money to unlock the money.
Oh, shit.
I shared
is
some information
emailing
with
you
him.
Again? Did he resurface?
Who? Yes, exactly. He says there's a bunch of money, but it's trapped on a golf course. I'm trying to think if that is relatable to me, if there is an example of that. Does that ring true for you? Can you think of examples where you might have been more forthcoming
with somebody
else?
Well, I'm the recipient of a lot of that stuff because I have this – if I'm meeting someone for the first time – I tend to just ask them a lot of questions. Some of it's, I think, habit from maybe the job stuff that I do. And maybe it's just, I don't know, my conversational style. Most people like talking about themselves. Not all people, but a lot of people do. And people will like say like, oh, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And I think it's because we're all, you know, a lot of us are carrying around a lot of stuff. And maybe it feels like, well, in the relationship, the implications of if I say this, how I feel about this, that, or the other, then we've got to live with that information in this relationship. But if you're just chatting with me, you know, at Rosie's bar across the street from Livewire afterwards, you know, that might be an extreme example because that dynamic is a little weird. If it's like a listener to Livewire, we now have this like after party where I go hang out and talk to people and stuff. But maybe some little more low-key environment, I have found that people will tell me stuff. That they'll be like, oh, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And I think it's because I'm asking a lot of questions and because sometimes they don't really know me and maybe it just feels somehow like more confidential. It's like a confessional or something.
Would you say they have secrets, dark, disturbing secrets? Is that even the drop?
I would.
Is it dark disturbing?
Yeah, close.
It was close, but no cigar, I don't think.
Let me, hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me get to my...
I got secrets. How was that for a Mo?
Terrible, disturbing secrets.
Terrible, disturbing secrets.
Maybe. Let's see what Mo says. Let's find the actual one. I've got to go now to the source material.
This is good. I'm glad
Mo secrets. No, people love this. Are you kidding me? This is why people listen to the show.
I got a lot of secrets. I prefer to keep clandestine. Terrible, disturbing secrets.
Terrible, disturbing. By the way, you know what? I forgot the clandestine part, which is really...
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Oh, my God. Oh, that was so perfect. It started to go into Rushmore, which is a Wes Anderson film. You know what makes that... You know what make... What? Let me play this for you again, and I want to see if you and I agree on what makes this drop funny.
I got a lot of secrets. I prefer to keep clandestine. Terrible, disturbing secrets.
What is it about that drop that jumps out at you as the genius little sort of, I don't know, element?
A lot, but I don't think we're going to agree on this based on the way you're setting this up. But I guess if I have to choose one, I would say the clandestine, both him using that word and him pronouncing it that way.
Exactly.
It's all right, weirdest. Salamanca. It's easy over there.
Yeah, whoa.
We've been watching some Good, Better Call
Saul. That we agreed, and also I can't move because Walter White's trying to kill me or whatever. I forget. How did Salamanca get that way? Was it a degenerative thing, or was it an injury due to violence?
I think we end up learning this in Better Call Saul, but somebody is trying to kill him and switches out his stroke medication. And so when he goes to grab his medication, he's having some sort of a situation. The medication either isn't there or it's fake medication, and then he has a stroke, which messes him up forever.
Got it. That's why he has to ding the bell. Exactly. Clandestine. The way he says it, it's just such a weird, specific word. It has such larger implications. Clandestine is like what, you know, that's spycraft. It's not Mo ogling the women in the Sears catalog. Like, but it's that word, and that's whatever. Here's the part of the show where I just talk about how comedy works. There's something so specific about that word and how it's slightly out of place in this statement from Mo. And then again, also, you're right, the way that he pronounces it.
I got a lot of secrets. I prefer to keep clandestine. terrible, disturbing secrets.
Clandestine.
Hey, we just passed another round of the newlywed game. We identified the ha-has.
But I also learned that my bell ringing gets on your nerves.
Not at all.
That hurts. The truck driver in Kennewick busted with the mobile recording studio and meth. He was driving 17 miles over the speed limit. They pulled him over. They suspected him of driving under the influence of something. And then this is like the Washington State Patrol. They love to do this thing. I don't know why. I don't mean to go anti-law enforcement. I mean, this guy being high on crack driving a truck recording his rap album, it's a bad idea. Like, it's dangerous, and it's good they got him off the road. But I also find it weird when they tweet out, the Washington State Patrol tweets out, like, here's what we caught this guy doing, and then the hashtag, which I don't have it right in front of me, but the hashtag is something like, don't do this. And it's like, yeah, you think? Let's not do this. Like, I don't really know what... I'm going to the exact tweet here. What are the chances that's going to happen? What are the chances someone else is going to try to do it?
Right.
The hashtag was not acceptable. Yeah, we know it's not acceptable. He was on crack recording a rap album while driving his truck down the road 17 miles over the speed limit. I don't know. I feel like the hashtag not acceptable was just, we get it, Trooper Thorson.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel. I admit, I also don't love the vibe of these like police stations and police departments trying to be cute on Twitter. Like, we've been seeing, you know, the occasional Twitter or Instagram police-related thing go viral over the years, and there's a reason for it. And also, like, having less of a wall between law enforcement and average everyday citizens is a good thing, generally speaking.
Sure.
But it's always just, I don't know, it always feels forced. And for every one that breaks through that we hear about and talk about on TBTL, you know, there's just like a million other thirsty cops. Or, you know, like communication officers and police departments are just like, oh, this one's really going to get on the local news, and then it's going to get picked up, and then we're going to go big. And that always kind of – I'm not standing any kind of moral ground. It's just a little eye-rolly for me.
I think the underlying feeling you might have that I certainly have is – I'm all good with, you know, a video of a cop, you know, shooting baskets with the kids and the cops being nice. I like that happening. I would hope that we would have important structural police reform having to do with particularly how policing affects communities of color and marginalized communities more than, hey, we got the these three cops doing a TikTok dance. Like, that feels like it's not addressing the real issues that we have with law enforcement in this country. What's interesting about this, I've zoomed in on the photo now that was on Twitter of the guy's studio. He's working. He has a sound file open. I believe it's – I can't tell the program. It might be Pro Tools. He's literally opening a file. Like, this is happening. I am dying to hear this music, to be totally honest with you. Because, like, again, this is relevant to our interest, Andrew. I'm looking at a pretty robust WAV file this guy had just recorded when they pulled him over.
I know this isn't the takeaway, but it really makes me wonder if smoking crack would make me more productive and possibly more creative.
And get your rap career off the ground?
And maybe get... And then we rap about it. And we rap about it. And then we hand the mic to Luke.
That's right. Oh. Oh, God, I wish I could have... I wish I could have gone there. I wish I could have Durst it.
Luke,
I actually got nervous, which is ironic, because that's what... That's actually Adam DeMamp, I guess, right? Or... his name Adam DeMamp in the show and Adam Devine in real life?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Yeah. I think he's sort of like... Because he doesn't want the mic.
Nobody wants it, but also I
feel like Durs is really not killing it. My whip, dog. There's my whip, dog. Okay, can you now find that drop and play it?
We got to do it now. I can only find
it. It will burrow into the back of my brain. Do you want me to play the Mo drop again and buy you some time?
WWJZ do.
What would Jay-Z do?
Yeah.
He'd probably rap about it.
He'd rap about it. And he'd rap about it. And then he'd pass the mic to Blake.
No, I don't want the mic. Give it to Adam. I don't want the mic either, so I'll pass it back to
first. It's back to me. I don't mind that because I'm a R-A-P-P-E-R. Where's my car? I mean my whip, guys. Where's my whip, guys?
Rapping, stopping. I don't want the mic.
Boy, you want
whenever we have to improv, that is us.
You want something cringy. So Genevieve and I record our After These Messages show on Tuesdays, and often we'll have a plan going in. The past couple of weeks, Super Bowl related stuff was a pretty easy mandate. And it felt like yesterday was the first time in a long time where we woke up in the morning and had zero ideas for the show. And then we both had pretty busy days, and it's like, we have like 2 or 3 hours before we're supposed to record. And we're just like, I don't know. I had some idea about doing some Oscar Mayer quiz. It didn't come together. These are the real trials and tribulations of a commercial podcaster. But anyway, this was Genevieve's idea. She said, we talked a lot about how much we loved Post Malone in that Super Bowl commercial. There's a lot of Lil Nas X talk, Missy Elliott. So what if we did like rappers in commercials and we give them a letter grade? We have done this for basketball players. We have done this for football players before. So I'm like, that's a good idea. But like, as I'm putting it together, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be me and Genevieve talking about rappers. Suddenly, I couldn't even say the word rapper without just like being super embarrassed about it. We had a lot of fun with it, but every now and then I just had to stop and say to Genevieve, boy, it's really a lot of fun talking about rappers and rapping with you, because we are two people who should not be talking about rappers and rapping in 2020. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. There's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
Do you have, like, a briefest of emails or V-mails, or even no emails or V-mails, because we should wrap speaking of rap guys, we should wrap this up because we have to turn right around and record an edition of McMillan Men, our great and I think at this point widely lauded podcast about the TV show Patriot. We got to record that right after this. That will drop this Saturday. Look for that. Season 2, episode... What are we on, episode 3 now?
It'll be episode 3 of season 2. That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that we got to do that. So we don't have a whole lot of time here for emails and V-mails, but is there anything jumping out at you?
Yeah. Well, I have one here, but it could lead to a conversation, and you want to stop the conversation
no,
here.
I
so
don't.
Let me
I
want to
stop this conversation and start a different conversation.
Let me... I'll just read this, then. We'll just go back to... microwave talk. I'm just pulling this raw right off of Slack.
Whoa.
Here. April says, I am time banditing here, and I'm here to tell Andrew and Luke that I haven't had a microwave since moving across the country the first time in 2009. Even after having two kids, we use our toaster oven a lot and reheat it on the stove, and we reheat things on the stove. It's totally fine. Luke, you have to try cheese on toast. Made in the toaster oven. Somebody submitted a photo of what that looks like. It is not for me. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are still saying you do not need a microwave and it doesn't affect your life that much.
I'll tell you, that Joaquin Phoenix thing, not unlike Lena Dunham, how it got to her, that kind of got to me. And I'm like, I don't want to say I'm trying to go or like I think I'm going to effectively go vegan, but I am kind of... I'm thinking I may have to try to return to like my fake cheese exploration, my vegan cheese exploration. I don't know. It just it hit me, and I was talking to my trainer yesterday about this because she's a vegan, really more for health reasons than moral reasons. And I was like, I talked about the Joaquin Phoenix thing with her. What I try to do, Andrew, is have conversations with her that will help me have a longer break in between exercises.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Because I need to catch my breath, but you know, we were just talking about all that stuff, and I was just saying how, like, I go, well, I don't drink a lot of milk, and she goes, okay, I mean, I eat a lot of cheese, and she goes, which is milk, right? And I was like, yeah, I guess that's a good point. Like, I don't drink a lot of dairy, but I consume a massive amount of dairy by way of all the cheese I eat. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, whatever. I don't want to bore the listeners, and I don't want to lecture the listeners or sound preachy, but my own personal journey is... seems like it's taking me ever more away from even things like cheese these days, which if I could get a handle on it, probably wouldn't be bad for my waistline either. I currently consume about half of my calories in cheese every day.
I was real when you started talking, I was like, did Joaquin Phoenix say something about microwaves in that speech? And now I'm just in this fantasy world where he goes up there and he gives just as much of an emotional speech, only it's all about how people don't need microwaves. I'd be there for that.
We tend to think, this is my Joaquin Phoenix impression, we tend to think that if we're, the only way to heat up a Hot Pocket is with a microwave, but we're better than that as people, and we are at our finest when we're thinking about other ways to heat up Hot Pockets. That's all I got.
I've been a scoundrel. I've used a microwave. I've had sausage for lunch.
So sometimes people eat sausage for lunch. Some people have that.
You went into a little bit of a Morty there of Rick and Morty, I think.
I don't know what the heck I did. It was not good, that's for damn sure. And that is a good sign that we should probably really and truly wrap this up. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back here tomorrow talking about Andrew's garbage anxiety from the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. So we hope you'll be able to join us for that. We will see all of you then. Until then, enjoy your Wednesday. Maybe I'll see some of you tonight at the Seattle Public Library, where Courtney Hameister and I will be talking about her book, Okay, Fine, Whatever. One of the few books that I am featured prominently in, which gives me a particular interest in it as a tome. All right, thanks for listening. Try not to cry during this Debbie Boone that I can hear swelling. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Fill my night. power out.